We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of Talking Halos. I am your host today, Jared Timms, and I'm joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime, Nate Green, and also guest of the show, friend of the show now. I mean, you've been on so much, you know it. Jacob Cisneros. Jacob, how you doing? Uncle Jake. Uncle Jacob.
Uncle
Congratulations. Jake. Uncle
Thank
Jake.
You,
that's awesome.
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
I'm
fantastic.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is the first time you being on the show where we have YouTube going. It's I mean, you know, it's a little different, but it's a blast. It's fun to actually see people as we talk to them. I don't think it's going to get old for me. I think I've said that a million times. So, Jacob, throw it out there. Throw us everything, where you're writing, Twitter handle, all that fun stuff, so everybody knows.
Yeah, Twitter @_Cisneros, my name. And then I'm a writer for Halo Hangout, part of FanSided Network, Dodgers Tailgate, so I write a little bit of Dodgers. And then I'm student union sports, but writing about college sports. So, yeah, I'm writing a lot. Let's just say that. I'm pumping out the content.
Dude, absolutely. That's the best way to do it. That's the best way to get the name out there. You do a fantastic job. I can't say that enough. I know I say it every time that you come on, but you do a great job of covering everything that you do. Minor leagues, had a blast covering the game with you. I know Taylor loved you that day. So, like I said, keep doing your thing. It's fantastic. So, Nate. How you doing, my friend?
It's going well, Jared. It's good to be back. It's exciting. We're getting closer to baseball, I think, hopefully.
Well, we'll see about that. If the Zoom call goes well, that happens on.
I'm optimistic. What can I say? First time ever.
I'm still trying to get the password to that Zoom call that's going on. So, yeah. Hey, hi, mics also. So if this sounds a little different, me and Nate working with the mics now, becoming a super professional at this because, I don't know. So going along with last podcast, I said that we would at some point talk about hats, and jerseys and such like that, because we're going to get super bored. I figured today would be the good day to do it. You know, right after I mentioned that Nate's wearing the hat, Jacob loved the question. I think it's always a fun question to talk about some of the best, we'll go best uniforms in Angels history first. And I think I want to talk about some of the best uniforms in like major league history as well. So, Jacob, I'll start with you. What's the best, you can go different hat, different jersey. What's your favorite? What's the best? What do you think? What would you like to see him bring back too?
Yeah. Actually it's honestly, I mean, it's kind of a surprise, but Nate's hat, the lowercase A with the halo. I just love that one. I have it back here. I don't know if you guys want me to go get it or I can.
Yeah, get it. Put it on. We need you to put it on now. I don't have an Angels hat actually anymore.
Oh, you lost it in the move.
So yeah. It's a little small right now, but definitely this is, you know, the hat that I think that usually I see most people wear it, like when I go to the ballpark and stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think the Angels will play in it, but I mean, why not, you know? It's a very popular hat.
I love it. I like the Navy. You know, I like the lowercase A. I think they need to do something to differentiate themselves here in the future for sure. Favorite jersey, Jacob? I know you just gave us the hat, but is there a different jersey you like? Is that it?
The alternate home jersey, I think it's – I don't know if it's called alternate home, but their alternate red jersey, all red. Those ones I like the most. I don't know why. It's just something about those all red. And then, of course, the home jersey. It's just that clean white, you know, I don't know. I just like it being very clean, and then they end up getting dirty, you know, trying to slide up for a double play, all that crazy stuff. It
looks good. Yeah, no, I like that. I do. It's kind of interesting because I don't think – I mean, minus the Yankees and like Red Sox and even maybe the Cubs, the Angels are one of those teams that haven't really changed their jerseys a whole lot. Dodgers too, yeah. Haven't changed their jerseys a whole lot. So it's kind of – it's different. I think it's like a tradition thing. I don't know why they do this. I mean, I'll give mine. I was a big fan, and probably because I grew up – and it was my first, like, T-ball jersey, first T-ball jersey, and then I wore it 2 years later, I think. Big fan of the powder blue. Is that what you consider it? The navy. That's just not me.
Powder. Powder blue is like the Cardinal or Cardinal Phillies. Those are the powder blue.
I'm thinking is the Rangers one, the Texas Rangers one.
Yes.
Yeah. That's powder blue. I think he's asking the navy one, like almost color.
There's a couple navy. So they had some alternates during those years. I just thought they were called the powder blues. I don't know. The old Angels wings. I don't know what you consider those.
Oh, the wings one with the pennies.
Yeah, the pennies. They had a couple alternates that I really liked. They had a navy alternate straight with the I love that one. Like I will always play with that on any like game that I'll play. I love that one. And then they also had one that was, I think, navy with baby blue.
Mm-hmm.
I think
that's the Mo Vaughn one is my memory. Always think of Mo Vaughn in those.
I love those jerseys. Those are my favorite. I wish they bring them back. I think for some reason Disney owns them, or just nobody wants them back. But I love those. Those are some of my favorite. Again, those are what I grew up with, though. So like, my dad loves the 80s jerseys because he grew up with those. You know, the 70s jerseys. I get that. Favorite hat. I gotta go with the halo on top. I don't know. I'm sorry if I took yours, Nate, but I think that's such the LA with the halo on the top, or the CA. Did they have the CA with it?
Yeah.
The kid from the Sandlot wore it.
Yeah. I think they had the CA with the halo on top of the A.
Yeah, those are sweet. I dig those old school hats like that. That's just me. I mean, nothing wrong with the jerseys now. I'd love them to incorporate some navy. I'm gonna continue to say that. Like, they sold a navy jersey in the team store for some strange reason. It's like they were gonna do that for a while as an alternate, but didn't. So. I think they should throw in a little bit of navy at some point in their jersey. So, Nate, what's your favorite combo?
Yeah, so I like my hat that I'm wearing now, but I like the uppercase A with, like, the bold of the halo, because I think that's the one thing that's really missing on the new uppercase A is the halo is not as distinctive. But I love the 90s, the early 91s, where they were, like, all white with the red and navy blue across the chest. And then the navy blue tops with the grays, almost the ones that they wear on throwback days. You know, those are my favorite ones. Those things look sweet. I love the helmets that they come out with those. Like, I just think of Mike Trout early in his rookie, maybe second year, wearing those, and Mark Trumbo. Like, when they were wearing those just look so sweet. They're my favorite by far.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Just the whole jersey in general. Are you going with that? Like,
oh yeah, same everything. It's elite.
I like that. So I wanted to bring up the best jerseys in baseball history. I don't know if there's something, just a jersey that stands out to everybody. For me, I'll say this. It's the original Diamondbacks, the purple with the green. I really love those. I don't know if it's just something, you know, about that era, like just me growing up in that era and going to old Diamondbacks games and seeing that. But I really like the purple with that old look, the old rattlesnake logo. I think that's one of my favorite jerseys of all time. So, Nate, what do you got on that?
Oh man, this is a tough one because I love the powder blue, like you were talking about, the Phillies old one, like the Mike Schmidt one. But I also, I'm going to go with the green Mariners, like the A-Rod prime, when A-Rod and Griffey were on the team and they were that prime green.
Weird green.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, you had to go there. But no, those are the, I don't know. I just like the different colors because you look at all these major league teams and it's like, okay, they wear red, they wear white. Like, they all wear fairly similar colors. So whenever a team breaks out and wears something different, it's like, man, those things are sweet.
Almost like baseball stays too traditional sometimes.
Yeah.
Weird as that sounds. Like, I know baseball's traditional and that's fine with me, like things have to stay the same, and I'm cool with that. You know, like you can't break it, but same time, like I like that Nike took over, because I feel like we're going to see some, we don't need to go Oregon, the University of Oregon, and go different jerseys for 162 games. But I definitely think that we'll start seeing more and more different jerseys. And I love what the minor leagues do, by the way. They like constantly, they'll switch up, like they'll do a different jersey every week, it feels like, which is really cool. You know, you got the Star Wars and Four Wars Knights, and I think Inland Empire does like a, I'm going to screw butcher how they call it, Los Caracas Day, I think is what you call it. I forgot, but they do a Mexican Heritage. The Cal League does it, and it's super cool. They all wear different jerseys, and I really like that. I love, they have a neon yellow, neon green, that's pretty sweet. So I know Jake knows what I'm talking about there, but what's the best jersey of all time in your mind?
I mean, I might be a little boring, but like you said, it's like traditional, but like, I don't know, I'm thinking like when I really just started watching baseball is when like the jerseys have stayed the same for me. Like I would go back, obviously, like the 90s, like you guys mentioned, like watching like kind of those navy colors, that powder blue, a little baby blue, like you said. I'm going to just go traditional. I don't know why. I like the Yankees jerseys for some reason. Like pinstripe, no name in the back, just the number. And it's just like players from the Yankees for some reason, it's just like they become that iconic that you don't need a last name on the back. You're just like number two, Derek Jeter. You obviously know.
Like, it's tradition. You're kind of an old school guy. Like you probably love
those are him. Awesome.
You like James Bond, don't you too?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it, yep. You're just classy. I like it. I like it. No, another one I kind of want to bring up too is old Marlins jerseys.
Yeah.
Florida Marlins.
That's a similar green.
I don't know what it is about the green, man. Like that's just that green just kind of looks good with baseball. I don't know if it's like.
It's different. That's why.
It might be. Yeah. And I just like Diamondbacks in general. Like Diamondbacks and the Marlins are the two teams that have probably changed their jerseys the most over the past couple of years. And I think they like, I know the Diamondbacks jerseys are kind of a little whack right now, but they're not bad though.
No.
So
I got one more question for both of you guys to answer before we move on.
Yeah, go.
So this last year, I think it was like 6 or 8 teams got their hometown jerseys. What do you think the Angels' hometown jersey is going to look like? Because they're going to do like their
– do Los Angeles.
Oh.
You know they're going – you know they will. Yeah. They'll end up doing Los Angeles, which like as bad as that sounds, everybody's going to hate it. And but they're going to do Los Angeles. I forgot what they really look
like. Are you sure it's not going to be an Anaheim one with Disney in the background? Because, I mean, you look at some of the ones, they had, like, a specific landmark in the background. Like, they could go Anaheim and put, like, Disneyland in the background.
I remember thinking about that. I do remember thinking about that. Okay. Like, oh, what would the Angels do for this? Like, do they go LA? Do they go Disney, like a Disney-themed? But then I don't know if Disney would allow that.
I mean, it's going to come out this year or next year. Every team's getting one. So I wonder what it's going to look like.
Yeah, like I said, I love what Nike does. I think Nike does a good job. So I don't know, Jacob, you got anything on that jersey?
Yeah, I don't really know. I'm assuming, like, I'm not sure. Like, maybe I need Nate to kind of clarify, because I know that they did the City Connect jerseys.
Yeah, those ones.
Yeah, the City Connect jerseys. Yeah, I'm thinking maybe like the Disney. I like that idea a lot. Maybe just incorporate it, but it's got to be Los Angeles. I wish it was kind of like a Orange County one where it's just like, Orange. OC maybe, like, but I mean, like Jared said, they're all Los Angeles, they're all into LA now, so
it's terrible.
I have a weird feeling it would be something like the Ducks do with their third jersey. I don't know if you guys know what that looks like, the orange.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah,
that would be kind of interesting too. Like, I don't know if that's like an Orange County theme or not, but it'd be kind of interesting to see what they do with that.
I think I mean, that was another question I have for both of you guys too, was like maybe like an orange color jersey, like you said, with like how the Ducks do it. But I'm thinking like that would be kind of like a throwback for the Marlins, because I know like the Miami Marlins made it.
They had
like
that one.
They had that orange.
Right away.
I think there's a reason why no teams wear orange in baseball, that is. I think it's just – I don't know what it is with orange, but it's just not a good color. Though that team was really good. You go back and look at some of those old Marlins, those Marlins teams – and it's like JT Realmuto, Giancarlo Stanton, Jose Fernandez. Like, it's Christian Yelich. Like, it's a legit team, and it's a shame that team didn't win during those years. So, guys, just want to thank you all so much for listening to this podcast here at Talking Halos and watching us if you're watching us now. It's pretty cool to be doing this and having this technology to to be able to get our voices out there and also our faces out there, even though I don't know why we do this. I don't know why we do it. But guys, if you could subscribe to this podcast, wherever you're listening to it or watching us on YouTube, we would really appreciate it. Give us any feedback as well. Me and Nate, Derek, Brock, John would all really appreciate it. I think, you know, how we're doing on not only the podcast, but the YouTube as well. It'd be an absolute blast. You can follow myself on Twitter at Jared_Tims. You can follow Nate at NateGreen34. And Jacob, where can you follow yourself?
@_JacobCisneros.
So go follow all of us on Twitter. And guys, let's get on to, I guess we kind of have some baseball talk here. I have an interesting question I told you guys before the show, but got you guys thinking a little bit here. I don't know how much you guys have really thought about it. Maybe I took your, you know, the thought process off, but I want a trade, and I'm going to start with Nate because I'll put Nate on the spot. Jacob, I'll give you some more time to think. I want a trade that nobody has thought about, but makes sense. So no, you cannot pick. You cannot pick Luis Castillo. No, you
wasn't
cannot
going
pick,
to.
You cannot pick Germán Márquez because we.
Does talked, it have to be something that hasn't been talked about this year, or like if his name's been brought up in the past, but he hasn't been mentioned this year? Is it possible?
Something that we've maybe forgot about. Like if you let me if I forgot about it, then you know. I'll let it slide.
You're gonna put me on the spot here, which is not easy, especially going first in this. Like, you know, going second or third, you can kind of feed off somebody else. But all right, so I am going to say the Cubs are in the weirdest mode ever, and they are willing to sell. I think that they would sell Wilson Contreras to the Angels, and I think you send Canning and maybe Stassi and another guy back the other way, and you get a catcher, you extend him, and then you have a catcher who can catch 145, 130 games a year, and you don't have to worry about necessarily getting that backup catcher that has to catch 80 to 90 games a year, which that's the biggest thing with Stassi. I love Stassi. He's great. What a steal from the Astros. But – it just sucks they can only catch about 80, 90 games a year after the hip surgery. So I hope that's outside the box enough for you. But
I'm gonna let it slide. Because it kind of makes sense onto what Perry is doing.
We said it had to make sense.
It does make sense. It does. You know, I think Wilson Contreras is a free agent after this year, correct?
Yes.
That lines up with what he's been doing. So it makes a lot of sense. Those 1 year guys, I don't know what. It just makes sense. Like I said, to me, it
Joe's guy.
Yeah, Joe's guy. And again, that makes a lot of sense as well. So I think it makes sense to me. I'll let it slide. I do remember the talks.
That was a long time ago.
Wasn't extremely enthusiastic about it then. I wouldn't be extremely enthusiastic about it now, especially for that return that you just said. However, I'll let it slide because we have to.
I went first.
You went first, correct. And now, Jacob, I gave you quite a few minutes to think about this. What do you got? Give me a trade that nobody has thought about that makes sense for the Angels.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting because I kind of like thought about this as like an article, right? Just kind of just, you know, sitting in bed thinking one night, like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we saw him in an Angels uniform? Shane Bieber of the Guardians. I would do Shane Bieber. I know it would take like a huge, huge haul. Like it's probably Marsh, Adele plus, but I think they can probably get it done.
Yeah, that's a heck of a haul. However, with the injury, it worries me. I'll tell you that much. But it's Shane Bieber when he's on. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball, if not the best pitcher in baseball, minus Jake DeGrom and probably Garrett Cole. I mean, and even, you know, arguing with that, I could see it happening too. You know, that's an interesting trade that that nobody is for sure thinking about. I definitely feel like it's something that, you know, people have thought about, but not really. Like no one thinks that the best pitcher in baseball is going to get – one of the best pitchers in baseball is going to get traded.
He's a SoCal native, obviously. And then I think he's even mentioned it like on Twitter, or I think it's like someone caught video of him being like, hey, it would be cool to like play with Trout, Otani, like – just like as a little fun, like, like, I think some reporter was like, oh, what do you think about like Ohtani winning MVP? He was like, yeah, that'd be fun to play with him, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would also love to, you know, play with Trout and Ohtani. I wouldn't love to pitch to him, but that'd be a lot of fun. I'd love to pitch for them, you know, home run derby. Give it all of my 78 miles an hour, like 82 was it that Jared Weaver said. I'm going to go really kind of weird here as I'm kind of scrolling down the Pittsburgh Pirates roster here, and I don't know where we're going to go. I would like to say Nick Ahmed, but I've really pushed that hard already.
Yeah, that, no, I would not let that.
I know you wouldn't allow that. No. I want to say Nick Ahmed because that's something that hasn't been brought up in the media, but I personally would love to see that. I mean, great defender. You're not going to have to pay much for him. He's got years of
contract. No, stop it. Pick another guy.
That's not mine. I'm just selling it. I'm selling it right now. All right, I'm selling it. I'm going to go with Kevin Newman. Next best thing to Kevin Newman, the next best thing. I think that you can get Kevin Newman for fairly underpriced. Not a great hitter by any means. Pretty good defender there in Pittsburgh. I think, again, it's kind of a Nick Ahmed situation. You might be able to throw a young pitcher or two their way, and you might be able to get some youth out of the Pirates as well. Maybe pick up somebody like, I don't know. I love Travis Swaggerty. I don't know if anybody really knows who that is, but I'm a big fan of him. I liked him when he got drafted. I think that I don't know if the Pirates really haven't produced too much lately as far as hitting goes. So I'd love to see the – No, I know. Okay, Brian Hayes and all that stuff. I'm just kind of – dude, I don't know where
we were. Reynolds was a production from them. You know, yes. Polanco was hot at times. That was your boy. I mean, they've produced. It's just they just don't spend money.
How about have not produced pitching? When was the last time they produced pitching? Garrett Cole, no.
Tyon?
Jameson Tyon. He hasn't been what he was supposed to be, right?
That's just because he was hurt every other week. But, I mean, he was good when he was healthy.
100%. I agree. Who's
Glasnow, right? I was going to say, does Glasnow count?
Yeah. No, I know, because he went over pitch. Did he even pitch for Pittsburgh?
He was out of the pen in that year they got Archer. So
and then the Rays turned him into one of the best pitchers in baseball. So
you're talking about like fully developed, like
When's the last time like
Musgrove? Does that count?
Cole Tucker.
Musgrove's a good one. I think Musgrove should count.
Musgrove, yeah, I gave you Musgrove. However, you roll it back. He wasn't as good as he was supposed to be at first, and then he grew into it, right? Because was Joe Musgrove not a highly sought after prospect? Like he was coming up, and it was like this guy's gonna be legit. Kind of like Tyon though. Tyon was supposed to be that guy.
I mean, he was the main piece in the Garrett Cole trade, so I would assume that he was supposed to be legit. But you know, things happen.
You get what I'm saying, though, right? I mean, I went to Pittsburgh. I honestly, you go to Pittsburgh and you find, you know, yourself, I don't know who's getting overpaid there. I don't think anybody's really going to be getting overpaid there, but you're able to, I don't know, like, what if a league minimum salary comes up? You could throw Justin Upton their way.
Yeah. And what are you going to convince Justin Upton by saying? To get him to say, yes, this is a great thing for me, because he has to accept it too. So what are you going to say?
What happens when baseball isn't happening, guys? I'm just letting you know. Like,
Jared and I are getting too comfortable with each other. I'm just attacking him tonight.
Hey, that's what you guys brought me on, right?
Looking at Pittsburgh, though, how, like, I know this is an Angels podcast. Looking at Pittsburgh's 40, man, it's that's impressive.
That it's that bad?
No, dude, I think it's impressive. Dylan Peters? I'm kidding. No, they have – I like their young. I love the way they've drafted. I love what they've
– Oh, yeah.
I love what they've traded away. Like young prospect-wise, I think they've pulled in a good haul. So I'm a fan of them. I hate some of the trades they've made in the past, which has screwed them over. But that is what it is. I'm going to stick with Kevin Newman, though. I think that the Angels should push for, like, a defensive-minded shortstop that isn't going to hit a lot. But I like I said, I know I've pushed Nick Ahmed. That's just – I am a defensive-minded guy when it comes to shortstop. I think that that's where the Angels need to prioritize. You look at when the Angels – you look at any good team. Does any good team around baseball have a bad defensive shortstop? Like the Dodgers, you can, I guess, kind of say, like, Corey Seager, Chris Taylor. I mean, not the best. Like, Like
the Dodgers don't have Corey Seager at this moment.
You know what I mean? In the past. Like even the Rangers last year, they weren't a good team, but they had one of the best defensive shortstops in baseball, and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
And they finished in last.
You know what I'm saying, though? You know
Bogaerts isn't that great of a fielder. He just rakes out of his mind.
He's a good defender. I mean, I think in any situation, you have to be a good defender to play shortstop at the major league level. So I feel
there's a reason they're talking about signing Correa and moving Bogaerts to third.
Well, yeah, because this goes with the theme of what we said all year. Bogaerts is a better third baseman. Like that's
because he's okay at short. So
you're right.
Gleyber Torres sucks. Does that count?
No, he's not a shortstop.
Well, he was as of 15 months ago.
Maybe it was like a recency bias for me, but like, how about Jose Iglesias? Just watching him on the field, you know, like maybe it's recency bias for me, but like watching him play the field and just making those simple mistakes and probably just being a little too flashy.
Well, that's what I think. You bring a fantastic point. I think that's where the Angels have missed a lot on is the simple things, like the fundamentals of baseball. Like I think a lot of people forget that, like building about the home run, people forget about the single. As weird as that sounds, like everybody wants the flashy stuff, everybody wants that, and nobody makes their routine play anymore. I mean, people do, but I think that's where what's been hurting the Angels a lot is just that routine play. So kind of interesting. I like all three of those trades, to be honest. I know we didn't do too much research into it. I would love to do research into it a little bit more and see if we can possibly think about it. Hey, Jacob, I gave you an idea for your next article, trades that make sense, but nobody's thought of. So last question here before I let you go, Jacob, and kind of, I didn't want to reveal this one to you at all, but we're going to go that route. Did anybody see the Rally Monkey drop the puck?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Fantastic. Fantastic's a good word for it. Is that the best? Is that the most impressive pregame, and I'm going to air quote this, ceremony, first pitch, puck drop that we've ever seen? Can you, like, we've seen some impressive, like, some of the gymnastics do a flip, the gymnast girls do a flip and then throw out the first pitch or 50 Cent. 50 Cent's a good one. I don't know. Is there a more impressive opening, you know, first pitch puck drop than a monkey drop? Like that's kind of impressive, right?
Can I go really biased here? But I'm gonna say when President Bush threw from the rubber and threw a strike. That I mean, at the time, one of the most significant things in U.S. history. Very, very impressive. Very, very high stakes. And I love how Jeter, should I throw from the rubber or should I throw from the front? And he goes, if you throw from the rubber, you better not bounce it. And it was just like, okay, like this is real. Like this is a big deal.
They're going to boo you if you throw from the front. You better throw from the rubber. And as you're walking away, don't bounce it.
Yeah, like this is real. So that's just me. I think that's one of the most impressive ones. I do like how they had to like kind of tell the monkey, they didn't touch him. They just were like, hey, you got to go this way and boom, dropped it. Perfect. And, the Ducks won that.
That's impressive. Jacob, you got one. I have one in the back of my head. I want to see if you'll
Yeah, I have two. One that really stands out to me as like just memorable. And then one that's more creative. The memorable one was Bob Costas. He threw out he had two first pitches and I've never seen that. So he threw it and I think it bounced in the dirt. I'm like, he was like, hey, give me another one. Give me another first pitch. And I'm like, are you sure? Like, all right. And they're like,
did he get a new ball too?
I don't know if he got a new ball, but he did. Like, he was like, no, I want another one. And like, all right. Like the first person to ever throw the first pitch twice. Like, and creative one was the, I think it was in Petco Park, the dinosaur, blow up dinosaur.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how they did that. Like, I don't know if the arms are in the mouth, or I have no clue, but I thought that was pretty impressive.
Petco's done some very memorable ones. That's not the one that I was thinking of. They had the guy that did, like, the quadruple flip, like, maybe a Hawaiian dancer or something like that, and then throw out the first pitch. That was pretty cool. I think the Padres also had the monsters walking around. Do you remember that one? Like they had a what's the show called with the it's gonna come to me. I'll come back to it. My favorite's Colin Kaepernick. absolute just chucking it. And at like 92 miles an hour, I think is what it was. Walking Dead, by the way, was what I was thinking of. A Walking Dead one where they had a bunch of, I don't know what they're called.
Zombies.
Yeah. They had a bunch of zombies. Like the guy throws out the first pitch. I think it was Dodger Stadium. Maybe it was at Dodger Stadium. Maybe it wasn't at Petco. But he throws out the first pitch and there's a zombie catching and hits a zombie right in the head and the zombie gets up and there's a whole bunch of zombies around the park and they start chasing him around. Super weird. Yeah, I don't know if anybody's ever seen that one, but I do remember that. Yeah, that's
now I want to watch it.
Yeah, no, look it up. It's I think it's at Petco. If you can find it, let me know. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Colin Kaepernick. I think that's one of the more impressive ones, like 90 miles an hour to Sergio Romo. Just absolute bullet. And he saves the cameraman's life because that was going right for him. It's right in the right-handed batter's box. So I don't know if you guys got anything else that you want to bring to mind here, but I'll give you a chance here. Nate, any final thoughts before we let everybody go?
No, just really excited to find out what happens in that Zoom. You know, hopefully good things happen, right?
Yeah, no, the 10-minute Zoom that's going to happen, and the players will probably reject it right away because the owners, you know.
10? That's pretty high, honestly.
That's my over-under at the moment.
I was going to say, over-under 5 minutes, maybe?
The only reason it'll take 10 is because it'll start at 2, and it'll take 8 minutes for them to get in, and then it'll last about a minute, and then they'll all leave.
That's fair, yeah. No, or they're going to have a connection issue. So, Jacob, any final thoughts before we let everybody go?
Yeah, on your last podcast, you guys mentioned the coaching staff and, like, giving your guys' thoughts. Maybe just a thought for you guys, maybe for the next episode. San Francisco Giants had a lot of coaching staff, and they, you know, they were praised for it. They were like, yeah, they have a lot of people on the coaching staff. I know, Nate, you even mentioned maybe there's too many cooks in the kitchen, but, you know, the San Francisco Giants did it, and they did it well. So maybe the Angels go that route. I don't know. Maybe just a question to think about. So.
And Andrew Bailey.
They did. Pitcher,
former Angels bullpen coach, I think is what it was.
The only difference, in my opinion, is they have everyone on the same page. We're going to find out if we're on the same page.
That's true.
That's my only thing with them is that is the biggest thing is do we have too many people that aren't on the same page?
Yeah, is somebody making pasta? Is somebody making steak? Is somebody? I mean, just to throw you mean cooks in the
tacos.
Kitchen. Tacos. I mean, like, not to make a joke or anything there. That's the way it feels like 100%. That, you know, just not everything seems to mesh. And of course, we're not in the clubhouse. We don't know anything. I mean, we hear things, but we don't know anything. And then we just kind of look at mannerisms and see how that works. So I'm in agreement there. I'm intrigued to see how all this works, especially with the guy, like new guys like Adam Eaton, coming straight off of that.
That isn't official.
Oh, it seems like it's going to be, I guess maybe not, but I'm always intrigued in guys like that. So guys, thanks so much for listening to this podcast here, Talking Halos, and watching us. If you're on YouTube, that's pretty cool. Let us know how we're doing. Leave us a review. If you could follow us on all our social medias, Talking Halos on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can follow myself at Jared_Timms. You can follow Nate at NateGreen34. And Jacob, throw it out there again. Give us a spew where they can follow you, where they can read all of your work.
Yeah. Twitter @_JacobCisneros, my name. Pretty easy to find. And then I'm a writer for Halo Hangout covering the Angels. Covering the Dodgers at Dodger Tailgate, and then Student Union Sports covering all college sports.
Yes, and Jacob, thanks so much for jumping on with us. I know we didn't have a whole lot to talk about, but it's always fun talking with you because you
absolutely. I appreciate it, man.
I love it. Absolutely. So, guys, thanks so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.